four ladies from across the world. We have come just to give a word. Come one, come two, come all. Ride with us and we won't let you fall. Loving God is what we've come to do. Edifying queens, oh, that's EQ.
Purity, purification, purified. All of these words have to do with ridding something of its contaminants. This reminds me of the process that God takes us through when He takes us broken in our mess and He cleans us up and rids us of anything that is not like Him. This is your girl, Purified, and I'm so excited to be here with you today. Happy, happy Friday. Made it yet again. I just want to thank you as always for coming to listen to an episode. This is your girl, Purified. So thankful, so grateful to be here with you today. Before we get started, I do want to just open up with a word of prayer wherever you are. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you for this day, Lord God. We thank you so much. We thank you so much for this day, for being alive, to be able to see it, to be in our right minds, to be able to comprehend what it is, just to have our life, our being, Lord God. We thank and praise you for it today. No matter what may have come our way, Lord God, we just thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, Lord God, for Holy Spirit that is constantly instructing us, giving us direction all day, every day. We thank you for your many, many blessings, Lord God. We pray right now that you would forgive us for our sins that we've committed in word and thought and in deed. We ask that we would obey, Holy Spirit, and turn away from those things and stop doing those things that are not of you, Lord God. We pray right now that through this episode, that you would completely decrease me, Father God, and that you will allow me to be used as a vessel to speak to your people, Father God, as well as myself, to keep us encouraged, Father God, and accountable through your holy word. So we thank you, Lord God. We honor you. We praise you. And it's in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So today, per the title, we're simply going to talk about, are we gonna trust him or not? It's just that simple. And let me tell you, okay, I am at the front of the line for this episode because this is for me, y'all. Like, and I just pray that y'all get something from it too, but it's mainly for me because so often, too often, I find myself wanting to take over a situation, add my own little spin to it, when God has already given me an instruction. And so I'm pretty sure I'm not by myself in this. I'm pretty sure that you too have found yourself in a situation where God has already given you an instruction. You heard him so clearly. And there are just moments where you doubt God, or again, you try to insert your own stuff. So can I just give you guys my testimony where this came from? Okay, thank you. So back in 2021, God gave me a revelation. We found out we were pregnant with our third baby. And so Isaiah is our surprise baby. Such a blessing. And so it was just as exciting as it was like frightening. So one thing about me that is really a blessing and a curse is that I'm a planner. And I like to know what's coming up next. And that's almost like a real hard cross to bear when, you know, wanting to, you know, really give your whole trust and your whole faith in God. So it's something that I really have to be intentional about, you know, staying on top of. But at any rate, you know, we found out we were pregnant with our third child. And so around the end of 2021, the end of 2022, God told me to take a year off. I don't even know if he said a year, y'all. He might have just said take some time off. So I am a teacher by trade. I have been doing this for years. This year would have been my 13th year as a teacher. And I've been doing it consistently since I've graduated from college without any breaks. So as you can imagine, to make the decision to disconnect that cord from working to not working to staying at home with my children, that was a very scary decision for me to make. But God kept putting before me confirmation after confirmation after confirmation that this is what he said to do. So I finally made the decision to take time off from work. And shortly after I made the decision, my husband and I found out that we were being moved by the military anyway. So to me, that was just the total, like, final confirmation. Like, you did what I told you to do. Now I'm going to move you to a new place where you can basically start over so you can set your life up to be able to be, you know, successful and truly able to have one income and take care of your family. Thank you, Jesus. And so here I am just the other day, and there was an opportunity that came up for virtual tutoring. So I, you know, had signed up to do some virtual tutoring because I told myself, like, okay, yeah, I'm going to take the year off from physically going into the classroom, but I'll just do some virtual tutoring, you know, here and there, you know, just to make a little money and just to keep my skills up, you know. But already, y'all, that's me inserting my own stuff into what God had already told me not to do. And so you hear how, like, you know, harmless that is. Like, what's the harm in that? Like, I mean, I'm just gonna be doing some virtual tutoring, right, helping these boys and girls that may need a little help in addition to what they're getting from their classroom teacher. Like, that seems like a perfect thing for me to do. But, like, God is like, but Purified, what did I tell you to do? And so it really comes down to an obedience. Hence the title, Are We Gonna Trust Him or Not? Divine and I like to say, are we really gonna rest? Are we really gonna rest? Because this is what it truly comes down to. Are we really going to obey him? Are we really going to have enough faith so that, and if we do, this will allow us to truly rest in his promises, in his word. And if we choose not to trust him, to obey him, then we gonna be tied. Divine and I have said several times we need to get a t-shirt made. Are we really gonna rest on the front and on the back? If not, we gonna be tired. It's just that simple. If not, you gonna be tired. You're gonna be tired. You're gonna be anxious. You're gonna be losing sleep. You're gonna be trying to survive off of coffee. Because we keep picking a thing up that God has already told us to put down. And I, you know, if you read the description for this episode, I talked about how, like, I get frustrated with myself. Like, I ain't nobody mad, but I'm mad with myself because I'm like, why do we keep going back to the same place? Like, again, I just got the revelation again, and prayerfully I've gotten it this time. Because before, I've gotten the revelation, like, no, we're taking time off, that this is what we're doing, but then I'll pick it back up. And I'm like, well, I'll just do, you know, just once a week for 1 hour. I mean, what is the harm in that, y'all? Once a week for 1 hour, anybody can do that. And then to make matters worse, when the position was actually tutoring a student who was a part of a foster program. So now my heartstrings are being pulled. I'm like, oh, what a blessing I would be. But yet and still, ooh, what did God say? Because even things that seem so harmless, so great, so helpful, so in a place of servitude, if that's not the instruction that we were given, if that is not the instruction that we were given, it is yet disobedience. And one thing that we have to remain mindful of is that, especially when we are, you know, really trying to live for God, not perfect by any means necessary, making mistakes, being sinful, you know, in the things that we do or say outwardly or inwardly, right? We have a real enemy. Like, PSA, the devil is out here to steal, kill, and destroy. That is his job. So although that seems so like harmless and so giving and so in a place of servitude, it's still disobedience. Because you know what? And literally the very next day, God like slapped me in the face. Like, this is why I told you, no, you can't take that job, although it's 1 day a week for 1 hour. He showed it to me, because the very next day I was completely overwhelmed just from my mom and wife duties alone. Like, I'm looking at myself like, and I think I could do one hour. And I told myself that I could do 1 more hour of giving myself to anything or anybody else. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. What that would have done, as great as it would have been, was it would have taken time away from me doing whatever I needed to do for me. Whew, that's a thing, y'all. Me doing whatever I need to do for me, self-care, whatever, watching TV, doing something mindless. It would have taken that time away. So now I'm short with my family. I'm short with my husband. The fuse is shorter. You know what I'm saying? It would have taken more of me, which would have caused me to therefore then not be able to fulfill what I'm supposed to be fulfilling in this season, which is to be mom, wife, manager of my household. It would have stolen some time, some energy, some opportunity from me being what I need to be for my household in this season. What does that mean for you? As harmless and as great as something may look, the job on the other side looks great. You're going to be a blessing to some other people. It's a great thing. But is that what God told you to do? Did God tell you to stay on that job for the whole year, for the next year, for the next 2 years? Did God tell you to see the project through? Because if he did, that's what he meant when he said it. And although this great opportunity has come up and it looks like it's going to be something really great, it's what you've wanted. But is that what God told you to do? Is that what God told you to do? That's how my story relates to you. Because sometimes the enemy have it wrapped up real nice, real pretty in a bun. It looks really good. He knows the word too. It looks really nice, but it still be the enemy. And it's still something that's going to steal, kill, and destroy something, some aspect of your life, which will therefore steal, kill, and destroy another aspect of our lives. The devil want to take us out of here, y'all. He want to destroy us. He want to destroy our marriages so he can destroy our children. He want to destroy, you know, our joy so he can destroy our entire families. You know, it is an extreme attack on our lives when we have given our lives over to God and we are really living this thing out. You know, I had to remind myself of that. Like, if I was out here living like, you know, Jobo Smo, not caring at all, doing what I wanted to do, it wouldn't matter. The devil wouldn't have to mess with me. He wouldn't have to attack me. But here I am, you know, here my husband and I are, you know, wanting to live right again, not without fault, not without mistakes, but wanting to live right, show our children, you know, set a good example for them each and every day. Because we're wanting to do that, man, the devil got a dart on our back every day. And so I had to be reminded of that. So let's go into the word, because, you know, I just want us all to look at two examples in the Bible of individuals who obeyed and another set of individuals who disobeyed. Even as minute as the disobedience was, it was still disobedience, and they disobeyed. So the first example we're going to look at is in Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Genesis 22nd chapter, starting at the first verse. And this is where Abraham's faith is tested. And I'm actually going to read from the first verse all the way down to the 19th verse. And it reads, "Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. 'Abraham,' God called. 'Yes,' he replied. 'Here I am.' God said, 'Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains. I'm sorry, guys, I lost it. On one of the mountains, which I will show you.'" So yes, you heard that right. God told Abraham to take Isaac to the land of Moriah to sacrifice him on one of the mountains. So verse 3, "The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. 'Stay here with the donkey,' Abraham told the servants. 'The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back.'" Verse 6, "So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, 'Father?' 'Yes, my son,' Abraham replied. 'We have the fire and the wood,' the boy said, 'but where is the sheep for the burnt offering?'" Verse 8, "God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son," Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham.' 'Yes,' Abraham replied. 'Here I am.' Verse 12, 'Don't lay a hand on the boy,' the angel said. 'Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son.'" Ooh. "Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means 'The Lord will provide.' To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. 'On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided.'" Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. "This is what the Lord says. 'Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Verse 19, then they returned to the servants and traveled back to Beersheba, where Abraham continued to live. Oh my gosh. Y'all, I'm a mama. And that there almost brought tears to my eyes because I'm visualizing this. I'm visualizing Abraham with Isaac. And I'm visualizing how Isaac must have looked up at his daddy. Because I know how my oldest son looks up at me, for reassurance, just, are we good, And how, man, if it was that I'm going to sacrifice my son, but Abraham already knew because he had faith. He already knew that God was going to provide a ram in the bush. But how Abraham must have looked at his son, to provide that reassurance, but that internal, just like, who, Lord, I'm trusting in you. Who, Lord, that the courageous, the bravery that Abraham had to have. But he obeyed. He obeyed. And because of his obedience, the descendants, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All because you have obeyed me. So when I think again back to my, situation, like, because of my obedience in this season, just being obedient, the blessings of the Lord will continue to pour out on my life. On my life. They will. And so I want to look at one more example, going over to Numbers 20th chapter. Numbers 20th chapter, starting at verse 1. I'm talking about obedience here. Are we going to trust him or are we not? There's no middle ground. There's no gray area in this. Are we going to trust him or are we not? Abraham decided, I'm going to do what God told me to do. I'm going to take my son. I'm going to put him down and I'm sacrificing him as a burnt offering. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to trust him because he already told me that the lineage is coming through Isaac. So because he already told me that, I'm going to do what he said to do, but I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him that he's going to do something. He's going to provide a ram in the bush. Even if I kill him, he's going to raise him from the dead. Because that's what God told me he was going to do. Lord, help us to have the Abraham faith, the Abraham obedience. This is what your word said. So even if the worst thing that you could think of in your mind happens, his word is still true. He personally goes ahead of us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Seek first his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Like, remember what I told y'all now. I'm at the front of the line. I'm at the front of the line in this, okay? This is for purified. And I just pray that y'all get in something too. Because I struggle with this. Numbers 20. First verse. This is when Moses strikes the rock. In the first month of the year, the whole community of Israel arrived in the wilderness of Zin and camped at Kadesh. While they were there, Miriam died and was buried. There was no water for the people to drink at that place, so they rebelled against Moses and Aaron. Verse 3. The people blamed Moses and said, "If only we had died in the Lord's presence with our brothers. Why have you brought the congregation of the Lord's people into this wilderness to die, along with all our livestock? Why did you make us leave Egypt and bring us here to this terrible place? This land has no grain, no figs, no grapes, no pomegranates, and no water to drink. You know how we can be." Verse 6. Moses and Aaron turned away from the people and went to the entrance of the tabernacle, where they fell face down on the ground. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord said to Moses, "You and Aaron," this is the instruction, verse 8, "you and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community. As the people watch," here's the verb, "speak." What was it? Speak. Let's say it again. Speak. Speak to the rock over there, and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock. Verse 9. So Moses did as he was told. Okay, this is the partial obedience, y'all. He took the staff. That's what God told him to do. Take the staff from the place where it was kept before the Lord. Then he and Aaron summoned the people. We're still following directions here. God said, get the people, assemble them. So Moses and Aaron, they assembled the people to come and gather at the rock. He said, "Listen, you rebels," he shouted. Hold on now. Let's go back to God's instructions. Let me see. Verse 8, here's God's instructions. "You and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community. As the people watch, speak to the rock over there, and it will pour out its water." That was the instruction, y'all. This is what Moses did. So Moses did as he was told. He took the staff from the place where it was kept before the Lord. Then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. We were all good here. This is where the Moses insertion begins. "Listen, you rebels," he shouted, "must we bring you water from this rock?" Then Moses raised his hand. Who told you to raise your hand? Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock. Not once, y'all. Moses struck it twice with the staff, and water gushed out. There's so much revelation that comes to me from that verse alone, because first of all, Moses, he raised his hand, he struck the rock twice. God didn't tell you to do that. God didn't tell you to do that. But y'all, God was still faithful though. He let Moses save face, because in a sense, Moses was still the leader. Moses was still the leader. So because he was still the leader, people looked to the leader like, you know, we have faith in our human leaders. So God still allowed Moses to save face, because God still allowed water to gush out, and the entire community and their livestock drank their fill. So God allowed Moses to save face and still produce the water for the people, so that the people could still have confidence in their leader. Oh, but behind closed doors, this is what good fathers do. Our Jesus Christ, they let you do what you're going to do. But behind closed doors, now I'm about to have a real conversation with you. So, verse 12. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I am giving them." This place was known as the waters of Meribah, which means arguing, because there the people of Israel argued with the Lord, and there he demonstrated his holiness among them. So God was still faithful. Water still came gushing out. The people and their livestock were able to drink to their fill. But behind closed doors, God, he had to get with Moses and Aaron. Like, that ain't what I said. Who told you to go stand in front of the people? You felt you needed to do a little extra. First of all, he came out because he wanted to be a little petty too, y'all. Moses was a little petty, because he said, "Listen, you rebels," you know, because he felt some type of way, because the people, they was going in on Moses and Aaron. Y'all got us out here. Ain't no grain out here. Ain't no figs, no grapes, no pomegranates, and no water to drink. The people was going in. So after Moses had got his instruction from God, he was like, okay, I'm going to go in front of the people. I'm going to assemble them. Now y'all listen up, you rebels. He shouted. He said, must we bring you water? Let me show you. He raised his hand. He struck the rock twice. That was not the instruction. God simply said, speak. All he had to do was speak. Water, come out. Water, come out. But I love that. And despite of the disobedience, it shows us the grace of God. It shows us the fragility of us as people. It shows us the lack of perfection in people, in the called leaders that God appointed. It shows us that. And that's a beautiful thing, because our God is love. Our God is grace. Yes, you may have disobeyed. Yes, you may have disobeyed the instruction. But every day that we have time to wake up and try again, that's an opportunity to do something different, to get back on the right track, to get back in the path of obedience. So don't beat yourself up because you made the wrong decision. You went on and you did what God told you not to do. Just right the wrong. Right the wrong. Every single day that we wake up, that's a new day of grace. Thank God for it. That's why we serve such a mighty, powerful, loving, merciful God. He's all of that. I love everything about that, y'all. Yes, he got with Moses and Aaron. That ain't what I told y'all to do. That ain't what I told y'all to do. And yet I still allow the water to come gushing forth. So what are we saying? Are we going to trust him? Are we going to trust his word? Are we going to do what he told us to do? Are we going to obey him, or are we not? We can see in the scripture that he's not okay with partial obedience. He's not okay with that. Moses and Aaron, they did part of what God told them to do. They did summon the people. They did that. They did take the staff. They did that. But then they inserted their own stuff. And God was not okay with that. We have to obey. Obey the instruction. So for me, yeah, I came back full circle. And it was revealed to me, what did I tell you to do? Take the time off. Take the time off. That is what I have to do in this season, period. Take the time off. That is what I have to do. There's no virtual tutoring, because that's a purified insertion. Obey me all the way and trust that I got you. Trust that there is a blessing, a priceless blessing that will come because of your obedience. And that's the same thing. And the beautiful thing about God's blessings is that there's exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or think. We can't outplan like all these things. We can't outthink God. We can't do it. And like, I am the worst at this, because I'm such a planner. I know everything, you know, and all this stuff. And it's like, I mean, I'll tell myself in a heartbeat, like, yeah, I can, I'm doing what God told me to do. And I'm just going to do this little thing over here, you know, because I mean, it'll just be fine, you know, and I will talk myself into being okay with just a little disobedience. And it's still disobedience. And it's yet disobedience. It's yet not trusting him. It's really what it comes down to. Disobedience is a lack of trust. Because if we trusted God, then we would have no need to add in our little sprinkles of ourselves. We would find no need in doing that. Because we would just obey. And we would trust. And we would trust and we would rest. Oh my gosh. We would obey, we would trust, and we would rest.
So how do we get and stay in that place? And this is where, I mean, I've talked about this before, the spiritual exercises. You know, God has revealed to me that an essential part of my wellness, emotionally, mentally, is like exercising, physically exercising, going to the gym. And when I can't make it there, turning on a workout video. It is essential to my overall wellness. It is essential. And I am using that word very strongly. It is essential. It is super important. And so spiritual exercises are just as important to maintaining this place where we understand that we have to obey, we have to trust, and then we can rest. So what are the spiritual exercises? We need to be in this word. When we wake up, we got to be engulfed in this word. We got to be praying without ceasing throughout the day, on the spot. And it ain't got to be no, let's grab hands, let's all, you know, count to three. No, just speak a word. Be in such relationship with your Father that you can just call, say the prayer in the name of Jesus and move on. Like, pray without ceasing. And be in that place, you know, where we're doing that, where we're staying connected to God through His Word. And so that's our very best arsenal: His Word, prayer, praise and worship. His Word, prayer, praise and worship. That is how we maintain our spiritual wellness. Now, does this mean that the enemy is still not going to come in and do what he do and get us off track and get us worried and broke, sick, and disgusted and crying and forgetting what God done told us? No, that's going to come right back around. But the more we have done our spiritual exercises, the more equipped we'll be able to recognize the attack, and the more readily we'll be able to get back to our center. It's just like anything. We exercise our bodies, but during the holidays, we eat our cakes, cookies, whatever, you know. But if we keep going to the gym while eating our cakes and cookies and whatever, you know, we might gain a pound instead of 10, right? It's the same way. If, you know, the attacks are going to come, they're going to come. But if we've been in our word, if we've been praying, if we've been with our praise and worship, you know, the attack might just be for 30 minutes instead of for 3 days. Glory to God. You know what I'm saying? Because you've kept your spiritual center, just as a person who exercises physically keeps their athletic center, keeps their athletic foundation. So we have to do our spiritual exercises. It is essential to our lives, in addition to our physical exercises, which is also essential to our lives. So are we going to trust Him? Are we going to trust Him or are we not? And so I want to conclude just by reading Proverbs. Proverbs, 3rd chapter, 5th and 6th verses. Proverbs, 3rd chapter, the 5th and 6th verse. And it reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." That's it. With all of our heart. With all of our heart. We're either going to trust Him with all of our heart, or we're not. So we have a decision to make. With every attack that comes, we have a decision to make. In getting back to our center, we have to make the decision. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust His word with all my heart. And that's it. And I'm going to rest. And I'm going to rest. And y'all, sometimes that is a minute by minute thing. I'm going to trust God. But I swear, as you continue to build that muscle, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Again, I liken it to physical exercise. The first time you go back after a long time, you can't do hardly nothing. But the more you keep going back, you get stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's exactly the way that it works in the spiritual realm as well. At first, to condition yourself to this, you might have to say it every minute. I trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You might have to have sticky notes up around your house, on the refrigerator, on the microwave, and wherever you be at, it's just there, you know, in constant reminders. But as you build, as you continue to, you know, impregnate yourself with the word, and then you can spew out scriptures, you know, and you can speak to situations on the spot, you know, and you just continue to grow, and you continue to grow, and you continue to grow. And you become more strengthened, more ready, more able to fight back. And this, y'all, are you ready? Are you ready for the kicker? This is a lifetime work. This is not like a magic pill. You're going to do it and get results in 30 days. I am so sorry. I should have told y'all that in the beginning. This is a lifetime work. And so what we seek, though, is that at the end of our work, because we have a good, good Father, and He sees our efforts, and He sees us, He does, and He has grace, He has mercy on us. And at the end of the day, when He calls us home, we all want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." No, you didn't always get it right. Yes, you struggled here, there, this time, that time, that time. But you kept the faith. You kept the faith. You kept serving me. You kept having a heart to serve other people. You kept wanting to do the right thing. And so that there, getting that "well done" from God, man, what else could we want? "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so, if you have not given your life over to Jesus Christ, that is step one. That is step one. We cannot live this life without Jesus. We cannot do it. So if you, again, have not given your life to Jesus Christ, please stay on this episode, because coming up directly after I end this portion is an invitation to Christ, the salvation prayer. Please say it, mean it, and join the very best family that you can join, the Christian family. Giving your life over to Jesus Christ, it is the very best thing that you can do. The very best thing that you can do. And so, let's make the decision. Let's make the decision to trust Him. To trust Him. Even when it's hard, to trust Him. Do what He told us to do. Obey Him completely. Completely. And watch He blow our minds. He does it every time. Every single time. So I pray that has blessed you. I pray that you have a beautiful holiday season. Be safe. Remember the reason for the season. It's all about Jesus. Gifts are great, don't get me wrong, but it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And so again, be blessed. And until next time, we all love you on behalf of the Edifying Queens. We thank you. We appreciate you. As we get ready to close 2022 sooner than later, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us and this podcast. So take care and be blessed. I think it's so important to give anyone who's listening today who doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior an opportunity to make the decision to join the family,
the very best family. And that's a kingdom family, becoming a kingdom citizen. And if that's you, if you're seeking that relationship with Jesus Christ, wanting him to be your personal Lord and Savior, please repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I need you. I believe that you are Lord and that you died for my sins and arose for my justification. Forgive me for my sins and all I have done wrong. I receive you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Save me, Lord. Save me right now. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, congratulations on making the very best decision of your life, and that is to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you need further direction or instruction on what this walk with Jesus looks like, please email us. Our information is on the main detail page for the podcast. Please shoot us an email. We'd love to hear from you and walk this thing out with you. God bless you. It is always a joy to come here with you and to bring you a message. This is your girl, Purified. Until next time, remember that God's got you, He loves you, and you are free in Him.
Four ladies from across the world. We have come just to give a word. Come one, come two, come all. Ride with us and we won't let you fall. Loving God is what we've come to do. Edifying queens, oh, that's EQ.